Now let's open our Bibles to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 13. 2 Corinthians, chapter 13, verse 11. My subject this morning is peace. Peace. Where is peace to be found? In 2 Corinthians 13:11, the apostle says finally, closing the two epistles to the church at Corinth, finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect, be mature, grow up, grow up. Be of good comfort, ease and rest. Be of one mind, unity, purpose and spirit, worship. Live in peace. Live in peace. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace shall be with you. Now, my message this morning has nothing to do with world peace. Peace between countries and peace between natural men. It has never been and it never shall be. Because of man's depravity and sin, there never has been and never will be peace between nations. Our presidents and kings talk about peace for our time. Peace is temporary. There have always been and always will be wars and rumors of wars. Is that not what God said? Natural men can never live in peace together because they do not know the Prince of Peace, King of Salem. It cannot be. It shall never be. So my message has nothing to do with world peace. And then secondly, this message has nothing to do with ecumenical peace. Error and truth cannot walk together. People are always saying, well, the churches ought to get together. It is impossible for men who believe that God is sovereign and almighty to get together with or live in peace with men who deny it. Do you understand that? Why don't you cooperate with other churches? Because we're not worshiping the same God. It's an impossibility. Why didn't the Lord Jesus get together with organized religion when he walked this earth? They hated and despised him. Why didn't the Lord Jesus get together with the Sanhedrin or the scribes or Pharisees or Sadducees? Why didn't he cooperate with them? Because their message was a message of works and his was a gospel of grace. Do you see that? It's an impossibility. Impossibility. Men who believe the Word of God, believe it is the Word of God, believe it is the verbally inspired Word of God, the inerrant Word of God, cannot walk in peace with men who deny it. Men who believe that salvation is by grace, pure, free, sovereign grace, cannot live in peace with men who hate that message of grace, who preach that salvation is by works. There's no way for two men to walk together, one of which preaches salvation is by the grace of God, the other preaches do the best you can and you'll wind up in heaven. That's not so. That's a lie. Error and truth cannot. A dozen errors can walk together. You say, but other churches get together, they're preaching the same thing. And we are together in unity and beauty of fellowship with churches who preach what the God we preach. Brother Ken Weimer told me yesterday as he departed for Africa, he said, I have now with me and behind me, praying for me, supporting me, 28 grace churches. 28 of them. So I'm not talking about ecumenical peace. It can never be. It can never be. The enemies of God are my enemies. You understand that? They're my enemies. David said, "Do not I hate them that hate thee, O Lord?" You explain it. Now, my message has nothing to do with world peace. It has nothing to do with ecumenical peace. My message has nothing to do with psychosomatics. One does not find peace through positive mental attitude. I'm sorry, you can find a veneer of peace. You can find a false peace. Someone says, well, think the right things and you'll have peace. You'll have a temporary peace. One does not find peace by exercising mind over matter. Not permanent peace, not lasting peace, not true peace. You can find a temporary rest. You see, this peace, think good thoughts and be at peace. This is the message of those who cry peace when there really is no peace. There really is no peace. You're claiming what you do not have. You're claiming what does not exist. You're claiming what you do not possess to have just a show of peace. A smile on the face and rebellion in the heart is not peace. A goody-goody outward show and a heart full of resentment and envy and jealousy and malice is not peace. So that's not what I'm talking about. My subject this morning, and I'm interested in it, my subject this morning is real peace. Not the sit down on the outside, but the sit down on the inside peace. That's what I'm talking about. Real peace. I'm talking about a genuine peace. I'm talking about a lasting peace. I'm talking about a peace based on a sure foundation. I'm talking about a peace of heart and soul and mind. I'm talking about this peace in Philippians 4. Turn over here to Philippians 4. This is the peace I'm talking about. Philippians 4, 7. Philippians 4, 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all explanation, understanding, comprehension by any natural man. The peace of God. Philippians 4, 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds. That's not a veneer now. That's not an outward show. That's not a charade. That's not putting on a show for somebody. That's a genuine, real heart, soul, and spirit peace. One other scripture. Turn to Isaiah 26. This is the peace I'm talking about. And I'm not just going to talk about it. I'm going to get into it. I'm going to tell you where it's not found and where it is found. I'm going to tell you about a peace that you can have. If you're a child of God, you do have. Isaiah 26, listen, verse 3. Thou shalt keep him in peace, peace. Perfect peace. We got a little joke at our house. My daughter and her mother use this kind of reasoning. Something is cold or it's cold, cold. Is that hot or just hot, hot? Well, you know what he's saying here? I shall keep him in peace, peace. Look in your center reference and see it there. I shall keep him in peace, peace. Perfect peace. Whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee. All right, here's three points, three simple points. Number one, peace is the common need of everybody here. This fella, that one, that lady. Peace is the common need of everybody. Peace.
peace, peace.
Oh, I know we put on a good show, but I'm talking about peace, peace. That peace of God. And there's one place to begin. Our chief need is peace with God. Is that not right? You see, this is why we don't have peace in other areas. You know why you don't have peace at work? You know why you don't have peace at home? You know why you husbands and wives don't get along, some of you? You don't have peace with God. That's the problem. This is our whole problem. Lack of peace at work with those with whom you work, at home, the brothers and sisters. You say, brothers and sisters just always fight. Well, no, they don't. No, they don't. Not those who have the peace of God. No, they don't. Husbands, wives always argue. No, they don't. I beg your pardon. Not when they have peace with God. You see, our whole problem is right here. We don't have peace with God. Our sins have separated us from God. And the reason we don't have peace in other areas is we don't have peace with God. The whole foundation of our conflict is S-I-N, sin, S-E-L-F, self. That's our problem. And you're not going to have peace with anybody until peace with God's established. You see, the heart of the wicked is like the troubled sea, and it's going to stay troubled. He said, your sins have separated you and your God. And God's angry with the wicked. Every son of Adam has a right to be in conflict and distress and depression and fear. Because as death leaves him, judgment's going to find him and eternity's going to keep him. You got a right to be afraid. Got a right to be. And if our souls are constantly like the troubled sea, they've got a right to be like the troubled sea. God's going to punish sin. The soul that sins is going to die. Sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. This thing of sin is going to have to be dealt with. We need peace with God. Peace with God. God's angry with the wicked. God hateth the workers of iniquity. Your sins have separated you and God. You're not right with God. Therefore, you can't be right with anybody else. We not only need peace with God, we need peace within. Man at his best state is vanity. Only a fool satisfied with himself. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth's not in us. If we say we have not sinned, we make God a liar. And his word's not in us. Turn to Romans chapter 7. Here's the cry of a man who knows God. Romans 7, listen. Romans 7, verse 18. I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. To will is present with me. How to perform that which is good, I find not. The good that I would, I do not. The evil I would not do, that I do. Now, verse 20, if I do that I would not do, it's no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find a law, I find a rule, I find a principle that when I would do good, evil's present with me. I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Job saw the Lord and hated himself. Isaiah saw the Lord and said, I'm cut off. Our thoughts, what are our thoughts like? Our thoughts are carnal, they're sinful, they're selfish. Our minds are covetous. Our minds are never satisfied. We're never content with what we have. We want more, want something else. Our minds are worldly. They're set on worldly things. Our dreams are confusing and dreadful. Our words are careless and thoughtless. Our conscience troubles us and depresses us. There's no peace within, and there's no reason to have peace within. We need it, though, don't we? We need peace with God. We need peace with Him. We need peace with others. There's not anybody here that's not at war with somebody. No man lives unto himself, and no man dies unto himself. Our lives are interwoven with the lives of others. And the conflict in every area where we touch other lives causes us to be distressed. We have difficulty forgiving. We have difficulty forgiving. It's a difficult thing for us to do, to literally, actually forgive somebody. In fact, I see it demonstrated very little. And forgetting is impossible. That's not peace. Understanding. We have so much trouble understanding why people do what they do, why they say what they say. So we understand why we think what we think, but we have a problem with understanding why he does the same thing. We don't entertain the best thoughts of others. Who does? We're suspicious. Now, what do you mean by that? We're in this. We're jealous. See, everybody's jealous. Is that supposed to be? And I tell you, these relationships destroy peace. That's not peace. And what I'm doing this morning, you say, preacher, you're really cutting deep. You're cutting deep. I'm just describing human nature as it is, mine and yours. Mine and yours. There's no peace with God, not by nature. No peace. Now, everybody in the United States claims to have peace with God. But I'm talking about that real, genuine, God-given, God-accepted peace with God. I'm not talking about your profession of faith or your baptism or your confirmation or your sprinkling or your doctrine or your position or your experience you had or your feeling. I'm talking about peace with God. Real peace. Certain, sure peace. You know what I'm talking about? That's what I'm talking about. Peace. I'm talking about a peace within. A peace within. Whether you're on the mountaintop or the valley. Whether you're succeeding or failing, whether you're reading the Bible or upset, I have peace with God in here. I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded is able to keep that which I've committed to him against that day. That peace with which you can live and die. And that peace with others. With others. That contentment. That forgiving, gracious spirit that does not keep you boiling and broiling. Boiling on the inside and broiling on the outside. That constant conflict and that just brings, I'm talking about a peace that will bring unity with different personalities, ages, classes, or whatever. But it's a peace. And it's real. And it's not being preached. Consequently, most religionists do not have it. And I'm going to tell you secondly here. Now listen, where it's not found. Where is that peace not found? Now that false peace is found at the front of the church, in professions of religion, in your doctrine, in your memorization. That's where you find false peace, in psychology, in philosophy, in counseling. That's where you find false peace. You go to a man to get peace, he'll give you the kind he's got. Phony. So I'm saying, first of all, this peace is not found by going to church. Somebody said, well, I'm going to get started back to church. Well, I'll tell you this. If you do, I'm going to get started back to church. You ever heard that? You ever said it? I'm going to get started back to church. Well, the atmosphere of religion will only last as long as you're there. As long as you're there. You can't take the church to work with you. You can't take the church home with you.
You can't take the church in the kitchen with you. What you going to do about those days?
Somebody else says, well, I'm going to make a profession of faith. I'm going down the aisle. I'm going to straighten up my life. And that will bring me peace. Putting on the robes of religion will not give you a new heart. The Pharisees did that. Putting on the robes of religion will not give you a new nature. Putting on the robes of religion will not give you a new attitude. Won't do it. Well, people need to get involved in religious activities. Brother man, you need to have a choir and a children's choir and an adult choir and a youth choir. You need to have ball teams and suppers. You need to have some activities for the young and for the old. Activities in religion will bring a false peace. It's getting busy in this area so I can forget about this area. It's getting people involved in this so they won't be involved in that. Sending your children to Christian schools may keep them off the streets, but it won't bring them to God. It's exactly right. Fixing a young boy so he can't get this won't keep him from wanting it. And group therapy is not going to bring peace. I see these people sitting around in circles telling their innermost thoughts. Well, telling it won't change it. Telling it won't change it. Telling others what you're thinking is not going to change your thoughts. You see, all of these plans and promotions leave us buried in false refuges. They leave us with a veneer of religion. They leave us claiming what we don't have and professing what we don't possess and deceiving ourselves and deceiving others. I don't want that kind of peace. My friends, there's a real peace. There's a peace with God. A genuine, comforting, joyful, lasting peace with God. And there's a peace to be had right here. A peace. He giveth his beloved sleep. You say, his beloved, are they perfect? Oh, no. They're the first to tell you they're not. Are his beloved without sin? Oh, no. But they have peace. They got it somewhere. They have peace. And peace with others. All right. Where is it found? One word. One word. Turn to Ephesians 2. One word, and I'm not oversimplifying this thing. You preachers try to oversimplify. Let me quote you a verse. Paul said, I fear lest Satan, through his subtlety, who deceived our mother Eve, should deceive you and take you away from the what? The simplicity of Christ. The simplicity of Christ. Ephesians 2:14. Read it. For he is our peace. That's what it says, doesn't it? You reckon that's what it means? Tom, that says he's my peace. He is our peace. Peace is found where? It's found in Christ. He said to his disciples, in me, you might have peace. Now, let me tell you something. You, all of us can struggle, reform, seek, study, ways and means, go to group therapy, turn over new leaf, join the church, get baptized, rededicate. We can go through all of these things, marriage counseling. We can go through all of these things, but until Christ is formed in our hearts by faith, there is going to be no peace. Now, you write that down. You can write that down. Clarence, that's right. For he is my peace.
He is my peace.
Paul said, I travail till Christ be formed in you. We can profess religion. We can study doctrine. We can buy all these books in here. There's books in there on how to curb your temper. There's books in there on how to get along with your wife. There's books in there and on how to do this, that, and the other. I'll tell you how.
Know Christ. That's how. And a lack of the knowledge of Jesus Christ is the cause of all these problems.
You see those three areas I mentioned, peace with God, peace within, and peace with others? Let me show you how Christ is our peace in those three areas. That's where I started off. We need peace with God, within, and with others. I tried to show you where it wasn't found. Then I said it's found in Christ. It says He is our peace. Well, how is He my peace with God? All right, first of all, turn to Colossians 1. How is He my peace with God? Colossians 1, He's my only peace with God. Colossians 1:19 says this, listen. It pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace with God through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile, to forgive, to justify, to reconcile all things to Himself. By Him I say, whether they're things in earth or things in heaven. And you, that were sometimes alienated and enemies of God, enemies in your mind by your wicked work, yet He, now hath He reconciled us in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy, unblameable, unreprovable in God's sight. There's my peace. See, so I'm reconciled to God by the death of His Son. See that? Therefore, being justified by faith, we have what? Peace with God. Peace with God. It's no wonder people don't have any assurance when they're trusting a profession. But I know when I say back there when I walk to the front, if you're trusting that, looking to that, resting in that, it's no wonder you don't have any peace. I know my sins are forgiven and pardoned and I'm reconciled to God because I'm looking to Calvary. I'm looking to Christ. I'm looking to His cross. I'm looking to His blood. That's when I was reconciled. God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself. You see that? He's our peace. He's our peace. Turn to Hebrews 10 and listen to this. You're not going to find any peace except here. He is our peace. Hebrews 10, listen. Hebrews 10, 12. Hebrews 10, 14. For by one offering, He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. You didn't do it. I didn't do it. The church didn't do it. He did it. We didn't even do it together. He, by Himself, purged our sin. He did it. Read on. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. He confirms it in our understanding. For after that He had said before, this is a covenant I'll make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I'll put my law in their hearts, not on paper and tables of stone, so they'll love them. In their minds, so they'll think on them. Will I write them in their sins and iniquities? Will I remember no more? Now where remission is, there's no more offering for sin, and that brings peace. He has made unto me wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. And therefore I have peace with God. I have peace with God because I don't owe God anything. My Lord paid it all the debt I owe. I have peace with God because I perfectly, in a holy manner, fulfilled His every law in the person of my substitute. I have peace with God. I'm near, so near to God, nearer I cannot be. In the person of His Son, I'm as near as He. I believe it, and that's all I can do. God said, He that believeth on the Son hath life. I believe, I have life. I have peace. Walking down the street one day, and a preacher came up beside me. He said, you listen to that Church of Christ preach on the radio? I said, well, sometimes I hear him, you know. I don't listen to him, but sometimes I hear him. He said, doesn't he bother you? I said, no. Well, he said he bothers me. He said, he's got some pretty good arguments about baptism. I said, my friend, when you find all you need in Christ and rest in Christ and know that Christ fulfilled all that God required, there's no man can bother you with rules and regulations, duties and responsibility. I'm resting in Him. That's rest. Come unto me, he said, I'll give you rest. Are you? Is Christ just what we talk or whom we believe? Is this thing of salvation by grace a doctrine or is it an experience? Now, come on. In my hands no price I bring, except to the cross of Christ I cling. If Christ cannot please God, satisfy God, reconcile God, bring me to God, I'm hopeless because I can't do it. Could my tears forever flow? Could my zeal no longer know? These for sin could never atone. If I could live the best life any human being ever lived without Christ, I'd still perish. But if my life is the most questionable of any human being in Christ, I can be saved. No man's sins ever kept him out of heaven, but his righteousness will. I'm telling you the truth. So where do I find peace with God? In Christ. In Christ. Can you rest in Him? Forgetting those things which are behind. Paul said, I count them all but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in Him. Oh, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. Christ alone. Now, He'll go to work with you. He'll go to school with you. He'll go out of town with you. He'll go in the kitchen with you. Because He said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. You can't take this atmosphere anywhere. But Christ is everywhere. David said, if I ascend into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the innermost parts of the sea, even there thy hand shall hold me. I'm in Him. And He's my peace. He's my peace. He's my peace. How about within? Turn back to Romans 7. Romans 7. I talked about a while ago our thoughts. You know, the difficult thing about it is I still think them. And the unhappy prospect is I'll think them tomorrow too. That's what's sad. Does that destroy my peace? Oh, no. Oh, no. No. Paul said in Romans 7, verse 24, O wretched man that I am, not that I was, I am. Who shall deliver me from this body of death, the body of this death? I thank God. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law, the commandments, the glory, the word, the gospel of my God. But with this flesh, I regret it, but the law of sin. I'll tell you this, I shall not cease to struggle with the old man. He is a varmint, and he is hard to deal with. But I'll tell you this, through the cross, he's dead, Charlie. And I reckon him to be dead. And he is not going to destroy my peace. Greater is he than you. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in this world. If the Son will make you free, you're free indeed. Walk in that freedom. Walk in that liberty. I shall never cease to try to mortify this flesh. But I'll tell you this, in Christ, I am sanctified. I'm holy. You believe that? Well, it's so. I shall never cease, by God's grace, to repent. I repented yesterday. I repent today. Oh, God, I prayed today. Forgive me of my sin. I'm going to pray that tomorrow. Aren't you ever going to be through with the flesh? Yep. When you put it out there at Rose Hill,
and then I'll be through with it. But until then, I'm going to have to cope with it. But I'm not going to let it destroy my peace with God.
I'm accepted in the Beloved. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called what?
Son of God. That's what I am.
And you said a while ago, we don't look like it. We don't even most of the time act like it. And unfortunately, we don't think like it. But that don't change the fact. Does it? I'm a son of God. That's right, John. I'm a son of God. I'm still in the flesh. But in Christ, I'm glorified. But I don't find any peace in my holiness.
I find my peace in His holiness.
I wish I could make this clear without excusing sin. I'm not excusing sin. I'm not justifying sin. I'm not condoning sin. I'm simply saying that when sin is there, when thoughts that ought not be there and things that ought not be there, the words, that doesn't make cease.
That doesn't destroy the fact that I'm a son of God. I'm a son of God. Christ is my Redeemer. I belong to Him.
I'm clothed in His righteousness. And I'll tell you this. I had heap rather grieve over my sins and rest in my righteousness.
Now I'll just tell you.
I'll just tell you that. I had rather lie down at night and say, Lord, I know I've said things that I shouldn't have said. I've done things I shouldn't have done. I'd lots rather do that. I pray through Christ's name, forgive me, love me, accept me. I'd rather go to bed that way than lie down and feel like I've done the job. I really have. I've done the job. I've lived good today. I've served God. I just thank you I'm not like other men. Huh? Yeah, that's right. So I have peace with God. Real, lasting, genuine peace on a foundation that Christ died for my sins. That's peace with God. The sins are put away. I'll remember them no more. I have peace in here. It doesn't matter whether I'm on the mountain or in the valley. Christ is my peace. Now, you're not going to have peace if you reach back and find something you've done for God. Or you reach back and find some reason for peace. There's only one reason for peace with God, and that's Christ loved me and gave Himself for me. Is that clear?
Have I made that clear? I want to.
And that's real at any time. You don't want us grieving over our sins? David said, my sins are ever before me. But he rejoiced in the loving kindness of Christ. Oh, at peace with others. Now turn to Romans 12. Romans 12. And this is translated into action. This is translated into a comfortable rest. I want us to have rest. The people of God ought to have joy and rest and love for one another. It will be an experience. In Romans 12, 18. If it be possible. Like I said at the beginning of this message, in some cases it's impossible. Error can't walk with truth. But if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Peaceably. That's in Christ. That's with the brethren. That's with those that have the same objectives you have. The same confidence you have, the same Lord you have, the same gospel you have. You live at peace with them. Live at peace with them. Now let me make several statements. It may help you. I want God to save my family and my friends. And this congregation, I want God to save. Paul said, my heart's desire and prayer to God is that He might save my brothers. And if He does, I'll rejoice. And I think we're particularly interested in our own flesh and blood, the fruit of your womb. And if he does, I'll rejoice. I'll rejoice in his mercy and in his grace. But let me tell you something. If he's not pleased to save them, I'm going to bow to his will. I'm going to say, it's the Lord. Let him do what he will. That's right. I'm going to be at peace. Can you be at peace about it? Because if they cannot give Christ the preeminence, they deserve to be damned.
Now, is that not right? You say, man,
you say, fella down the street, well, he ain't giving the Lord the glory, he ought to go to hell. Now, wait a minute. Does that apply at home, too? Why, it certainly does. So now let's be at peace about it. It's the Lord. Let him do what he will. That's what Job said. Though he slay me, I'll trust him. That's peace I'm talking about. Secondly, by God's grace, I've chosen my lifestyle. My lifestyle is Christ and his glory. That's my life. I've chosen that by his grace. He chose me and I chose him. I say with Joshua, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. 2222 Stevens Avenue, we're going to serve the Lord. Now, I'm willing for others to have that same right, to choose the lifestyle that they care to live. They can choose theirs.
And I'm not going to interfere with it. I'm going to be at peace.
That's what Moses did. Let me show you this. If you're taking notes, write it down. You don't need to turn to it. But in Numbers 14, he said to his father-in-law, listen to this. In Numbers chapter 10, I beg your pardon. Numbers 10, verse 29, Moses said to his father-in-law, we're journeying into the place of which the Lord said, I'll give it to you. Come thou with us. Will you come with us? We're walking with God. Will you come with us? We'll do you good. For the Lord spoke of good concerning Israel. And he said to Moses, I will not go. I will depart to my own land, to my own kindred.
Well, what do you suppose Moses and his wife did? They went with God. And the old man stayed home.
And you got to be at peace about that. That's right. You got to be at peace about that. Can't go with God. You can't walk with God, heart with God, and your heart be back here with a rebel. I tell you this, natural men hate Christ. Therefore, we must expect them to hate us. Christ said, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you, it hated me, for it hated you. It just seems to tear us up when this religious world hates us. Well, let's be at peace about it. Our Lord said they would hate us. He told us that. He said, what light, what fellowship can light have with darkness? What communion can Baal have with the temple of God? It can't be. Be at peace about it. Blessed are you when men despise you and speak all manner of evil against you. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Don't mope over it and cry over it and be depressed about it. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets before you. Is that what it said? Be at peace. That's peace. Our Lord said concerning the Pharisees, his disciples said, well, today they're angry. He said, leave them alone. Leave them alone. Can you leave them alone? Can you leave them alone? You'll have peace if you can. And I tell you this, fourthly, my fellow believers are not perfect. Nor am I. My fellow believers, people right here in this congregation, and believers I know all over the country, I know thousands of them all over the world, correspond with so many. They're not perfect, but I'm not either. They're full of weaknesses, so am I. They're full of infirmities and failures, so am I. But Christ loved me, and I'm going to love them. Christ forgives me, and I'm going to forgive them. He took me just like I am, Mike. And I'm going to take you just like you are. Just like you are. If you're in Christ.
if you're in Christ, just like you are, and love you. I'm not going to try to change you. If you change, God will change you. But I'm going to love you just like you are. That's pity.
You're constantly trying to make somebody else like yourself. You're going to have trouble. You're not going to have peace. Take him like he is and love him. Christ holds me close. He doesn't avoid me. He holds me close with all my infirmities. He embraces me and he holds me in his everlasting arms of love.
And I want to do the same thing.
Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you.
But the key to peace is Christ. Key to relate.
Somebody said, well, you'll get hurt. So what? The Lord was hurt many times over. And I wouldn't doubt that we don't hurt him now. But whatever I am, whoever I am, wherever I am, whatever I say or do, my Father loves me, not because of what I do,
but because Christ loved me and gave himself for me. Is that, you understand that?
That's so. That's my peace. And we'll have peace with one another when Christ reigns in our hearts. That's right. Let me give you a little illustration. I'll quit. I want to word this exactly right so you can understand it. And not so you understand it, you will, but so you won't misunderstand it. But our son, Robbie, who grew up here in this church, and most of you knew him from the time he was an infant, many of you did, was killed suddenly in the war of Vietnam, 1969. And by God's grace, I and my family were able to accept it. Accept it. And not only accept it, but rejoice in God's purpose. We have no regrets about it. The Lord has spoken, and the Lord doeth all things well. And the Lord is too wise to make a mistake and too good to do wrong. I felt that way all along about it. I felt that way when it happened. I feel that way now. We've not only been able to accept it and rejoice in it, but we've been able to profit by it. I think that we've had much spiritual growth and profit by these trials and difficulties. Well, I've had people call me from even over the country. I've had them write to me. And I've had them say in their calls or in their letters, I have a friend who lost a son. This has happened so many times. I have a friend who had a daughter, 19, 18, 20, 21 killed. And they can't cope with it. They can't handle it. Brother Mahan, they cannot cope with it. They're distressed, berserk. They won't touch the room. They leave it like it is. Their whole personalities have changed. Would you sit down and write to them, or would you call them, or would you go and see them and help them to cope? Well, let me tell you something. I can't give you a recipe for peace. Peace is a person. They can't cope, and neither can I, but he can, and I can. Through him. I can do all things through Christ. But they don't have Christ. And so I can't give them some magic formula or some recipe. Do you understand what I'm saying? If he lives in that house, there's going to be peace in that house. My peace I give unto you. If he lives in your heart, you're going to have peace. And not just when the sun shines, but when it's raining, you're going to have peace because he doesn't change. We had peace before Robbie was killed. We had peace when he was killed because we had that peace in Christ. Do you see what I'm saying? Now, if I went to talk with that person, I wouldn't start talking to them about Whether or not their child was in heaven or hell, I don't know. I wouldn't start talking to them about a proper mental attitude. I wouldn't start talking to them about getting involved in the church. I wouldn't start talking to them about getting involved in some social activity. I wouldn't talk to them about establishing some kind of fund in memory of the child so that other children who are less fortunate could be. I'd talk to them about coming to Christ. Come to Christ. Look to Him. He is our peace. I can't make it any clearer than that. I can't teach it. It has to be revealed. But He's our peace. Whatever happens tomorrow, you can handle. He'll handle it if He's in your heart. That's it. That's it. That'll prevent all of this if He's in the heart.